Hey guys, Kyler back with Kyler Burrell's Unedited Podcast, episode number 109. Last week took the week off. Kind of missed on the fight announcements and the whole changing of this card, which we're going to get into. We're going to, of course, start off with the NFL. We'll do my main reactions to week 5, post week 6 power rankings, post week 6 award rankings, and then me and my brother do have our game picks. Ready to go already. Premier League match day 8 predictions, and then it'll be combat sports. We're going to talk the shit show of Logan Paul, Dylan Danis, Tommy Fury versus KSI. Very boring. Fury and Ganu early preview. You know, we'll just talk about that and, you know, look at some odds. Then we're going to get into a couple, you know, headlines in the UFC, and then we're going to get into UFC 294. We'll talk about the chaos of the card. We'll preview the card, early predictions, and odds. Then it'll be all into college football, top 5 reactions to week 7, post week 7 Heisman rankings, post week 7 Power 23 rankings, week 8 game picks. And I'm also going to do my New Year's, what I would project, how the season plays out, my projections of the New Year's 6 bowl game projections. And then we'll get into at the end, we're back with a 3.0 mock draft. So here we go. Eagles upset by the Jets and that nasty defense, man. The Jets defense is so good. What a win for them. They're 3-3 now. They're really just not, you know, they're not out of like play for this. For the playoffs, they're really not. Their defense is good. If Wilson can just be consistent, move the ball, but do a better job of getting it into the end zone instead of settling for field goals, the Jets could really make the playoffs. That's how good their defense is. And the AFC, I don't think, is as good as, you know, we thought it was. So, yeah, what a win. Eagles fall to 5-1. No more unbeatens. Next one up, 49ers upset by the Browns with P.J. Walker, who last week was their third-string quarterback. They had him behind Dorian Thompson-Robinson. This week he starts, and they get a win 19-17, missed field goal at the horn by Jake Moody. Browns get a big win again. I think the Browns are good. I've said it from the get-go, and I've stuck by it. I think the Browns are good. If Watson can just get healthy and play, that defense is elite. I think the Browns are a really good team. What a win for them at home. You know, 49ers, kind of a little hangover game. They battled injuries. Obviously, Debo McCaffrey got hurt. That hurt him. Purdy did not play well. But what a win for the Browns. And, you know, Niners, a little hangover off the Cowboys win. You know, big win against Dallas. A little hangover. But what a win for both those teams, the Jets and the Browns. Lions look impressive again. They handle the Buccaneers, who I think are a fine football team. 20-6 on the road. Again, I think the Lions are just good. It's tough to kind of grasp that and, like, it's real, though. Like, right? It's tough to take it seriously because it's like, you know, especially my whole life. I'm born in 99. I've known the Lions to be just dog shit, really. I mean, they had some good years with Stafford, but not a lot. And here they are, 5-1, tied for the best record in football. It's impressive. I'll say it. They've been impressive, and I was wrong about them. I thought they were overrated going into the year. I can admit where I was wrong. I was wrong. Bengals get a big win at home versus the Seahawks. God, that game started off flying 14-10, and then you had 6 points scored the rest of the game. Early into the second quarter, it was 14-10. And then you get 6 points the rest of the game, but a big win for the Bengals nonetheless. They needed it. Burrow's looking better, in my opinion. He's moving better, which is key for them. You know, to be able to make plays when they're breaking down. He needs to be able to move, and he has, but he looked a lot better on the move this week. Big win for the Bengals. Cowboys edge out the Chargers with a late game pick to win 20-17. The offense was better. A lot of flags in this game. I mean, it was a really sloppy game. I thought the refs were it was really ticky-tacky, though. Good win, though. Again, the defense, we put them in some bad positions. Put him in poor field position, had him on the field too much, but our defense, again, so good. Parsons, a huge sack to set up the third and long. They had to rush, and then, you know, again, real good pressure in Herbert's face, throws the pick to Gilmore to end the game. Again, you know, look what happens when you drop plays and you try to get the ball to CeeDee Lamb. Good things happen. 117 yards tonight. Brandon Cooks was good tonight. The running game's still not great. Pollard obviously had a big receiving play. The running game's not great. We're still, you know, got to get there, but it was a little bit of an improvement. It wasn't much, but it was a little bit of an improvement from especially from last week. But the defense was flying again. That defense is so good. The reason we're 4-2 is a lot of reason because of them. The offense hasn't been able to pick them up so far this year when, you know, they've kind of dipped off a little bit. But the defense has always, they picked us up. They have picked us up for sure. So great win for the Cowboys to improve to 4-2. So let's get into my post week 6 NFL top 16 power rankings. At 1, regaining their throne, the Kansas City Chiefs. You're asking why, how? Well, they're 5-1. Their offense hasn't clicked, but they're 5-1 because their defense is so good. And that's got to be scary for the NFL. The Chiefs' offense has been poor. To their standards, poor, let's be honest. And they're 5-1. That's got to be scary to the rest of the league that, you know, you look at how the offense is playing, you're probably saying that team should be 2-3, arguably 1-4, whatever the records may be. 2-4 is what they really should be, probably. And they could be 6-0 because of that defense. If they didn't have drop balls in that first game against Detroit, they would be 6-0. And you'd be saying, how are they 6-0? Well, it's because their defense has come to play. Their defense has been elite. And the Chiefs offense, they'll find it at some point. It's obviously not going to ever get back to when they had the Tyreek Hill and stuff, but it doesn't have to be this year. Especially this year, it doesn't have to be with that defense. So yeah, they're back top of the throne. 49ers dropped them to 2. Again, you know, Purdy played like shit, but he obviously, Debo went down early, McCaffrey went down, that hurts. But they lost to a third-string quarterback, so they have to drop, in my opinion. Dolphins at 3. Again, they won 42-21. They were down 14-0. Outscored them 42-7 after that. I know it was the Panthers, but it was they did what they were supposed to do to the Panthers. So big win for the Dolphins. Bills at 4. Debated them. I have the Eagles at 5. I debated them. Who's better? I don't know what it is. I just don't think the Eagles have really... They're 5-1's weird, too, because I don't think they particularly look very good, but they also haven't... They haven't looked good on both sides of the ball at times. Their offense has looked better than their defense. Their defense, passing-wise, has been terrible. So, yeah, they're a little weird. But they're at 5, Bills at 4. I got the Lions at 6. Debated them over the Eagles and the Bills as well. I want to see a little more, but they do look spectacular. Jaguars at 7. I think they're starting to click more. The defense is starting to play at a real high level. The offense still got a ways to get there, but they play better. Cowboys at 8. Again, I said it was a little improvement. The offense worries me. But a win is a win. They deserve to stay here. They don't deserve to drop at all. But I didn't think they deserved the jump either. Browns at 9. Again, I have the Browns there. They've won... They just won with their third-string quarterback. I think if Watson's there, they're a definite 10-win team, 11-win team. I think that defense is unreal. Watson's got good weapons. I really like the Browns, and I still do. I'll still stand by the Browns. I got the Ravens at 10. Again, I wasn't impressed by the Ravens. They don't impress me at all, really. You know, I'm sure more people have them closer to the top 5 than I do, having them at 10, but... They're still 4-2, so I give them credit for their wins. You win the NFL is all that matters at the end of the day. Bengals up to 11. Again, I think they're starting to find their footing a little. The offense looked bad in the second half, but the defense looked really good. I think, you know, the more Burrow gets healthy and he's looking closer to 100%. He looked closer to 100% in that game than he has all year. So that's a positive for the Bengals. Let me get a drink. Coming in at 12, the Buccaneers, again, you know, didn't look good against the Lions at all. It's a good football team, but it was at home, so kind of a dud performance. But I still think the Buccaneers are a playoff team. Jets at 13, have to be for me. The defense is elite. If Wilson can just get into the end zone a little more, they're going to be a tough out for everybody. Rams at 14, slow start, but ended up playing pretty well at the end. Good win for them. They're 3-3. Seahawks dropped them to 15. Again, it's almost the Lions have gained my trust way more than Seattle. It's almost how much do I trust Geno? I don't know if I do. I just don't know if I do. I've always been a Jared Goff guy. I didn't think he could perform this way. He's performed outstanding. But yeah, Seattle out here, 15. I kept the Chargers in. You could argue the Texans in here, in my opinion, or possibly the Saints. But I kept the Chargers in because I think they're so talented. I just think they're so bad at coaching. And that hurts them big time. But I still think the Chargers are uber talented. But will they figure it out? I don't know. All right, so post week 6 award rankings. Let's start with Defensive Rookie of the Year. My number one is Devon Witherspoon, the corner for Seattle. He is spectacular. Unbelievable player. Jalen Carter in there at 2. He's probably most people's one. I just think Witherspoon's been unreal. Will Anderson, 3. And then Brian Branch, 4. Safety for the Lions. Offense Rookie of the Year. Right now, it's in my opinion, it's a two-horse race. It's C.J. Stroud, 1 for me, and Puka Nacua, 2. What's going to hurt Nacua in the long process, how the season plays out, is Cooper Kupp being back. It's going to definitely diminish his stats, which obviously we knew that would happen, but he still deserves to be there for now. Bijan Robinson, 3, and Zay Flowers, 4. Coach of the Year, I've gone Mike McDaniel, 1 for the Dolphins, Dan Campbell, 2 for the Lions, and I think there's a real debate that Campbell should be 1. D'Amico Ryans, 3 for the Texans, outstanding. And I got Bob Sala in there at 4. Defensive Player of the Year, I've gone Fred Warner, 1. I know the inside linebackers don't win this, but I think he right now has been the best defensive player in football. Then I've got Micah Parsons, 2, Miles Garrett, 3, and T.J. Watt, 4. Offensive Player of the Year, Tyreek Hill, I think he's got some separation right now. CMC, kind of 2 more average weeks for him. But he's at 2, Diggs at 3, and Ja'Marr Chase, 4. MVP, I've gone 2-1. Patrick Mahomes, 2. I do have Lamar at 3. I'm giving him a little more flowers here. And Josh Allen, 4. Josh Allen was obviously not great in the game against New York, but got the job done. He's a stud. Game predictions here, week 7. I am 38-24. My brother, one game behind me, at 37-25. Upset of the week records, I actually have won 3 in a row. He's 2-4. So upsets of the week are tough because you kind of, especially like a week like this, we go off of upsets of the week are teams that are +3.5 or bigger. So, you know, it gets tough during this time. So my upset of the week this week, we'll get to it in a minute. It's a Sunday midday game. Like I said, they get tough. So Thursday Night Football, Jaguars, Saints, we both have the Jags. I have 24-22. He is 24-20. Sunday early game, Lions at Ravens. We're actually both going the Lions on the road. I'm going 23-20. He's going 31-27. Raiders at Bears. This could be subject to change if we want to, if Fields is healthy. Right now we're both going Raiders. I'm going 20-17. He's going 17-12. Browns at Colts. My score could change if it's not Deshaun, but I still think the Browns would win. I'm going 27-13 Browns. He's going 24-15 Browns. Bills at Patriots, both have the Bills. I have 24-17. He has 24-16. Redskins at Giants, we differ on this one. I went Redskins 19-16. He went Giants 16-10. Falcons at Bucks, we both went Bucks. I went 31-24. He went 28-20. God damn it. Hold on. My fault. Messed something up. I didn't have a score in for him. The score is really just for the pod. It's not really. We don't do anything extra for the points. Steelers at Rams. We're both taking the Rams. I'm going 30-27. He's going 23-16. And here is my upset of the week. I'm going Cardinals over Seahawks. Again, the ones to pick from, I believe, were Chargers over Chiefs. I just am not picking against the Chiefs. Vikings over Niners. Patriots over Bills. Colts over Browns. It's just like, no, I don't. I mean, I guess I'll ride the Cardinals just because why not? So I go 26-24, upset of the week. I do not think the Cardinals are going to win, but that's my upset of the week. He's going Seahawks 28-12. Packers at Broncos. I thought we'd differ on this one. I went Broncos, but he did as well. I do all my picks first, and then I don't let him look at the screen. I just make him pick it without knowing what I picked. He went 24-21 Denver as well. Chargers at Chiefs. I went 27-20 Chiefs. He went 31-27 Chiefs. We don't differ on a lot of these, so this is kind of a wash week. Could an upset steal one? Sunday Night Football, Dolphins at Eagles. We both went Dolphins on the road. I'm going 31-27. He's going 27-20. Monday Night Football, Niners at Vikings. This is actually his upset of the week. Vikings 27-17 over the Niners. You know, usually my upset of the week, if I think it's an upset, I predict the score close. I don't think the Vikings are beating the Niners by 10 if they win. I'm going Niners 34-17, though. So those are our game picks. Let me grab another drink, and then I'm going to get into Premier League. All right, so Premier League. Overall record, 46 wins, 17 losses, 17 draws. We're in a match day 8. Kicking it off with the Merseyside derby, Everton at Liverpool. This is one, you know, we just love beating the shit out of Everton. Liverpool 3, Everton 0. Brighton at Man City. Man City has lost 2 straight games in the Premier League. I'm going City 3-1. Crystal Palace at Newcastle. Give me Newcastle 2-0. Luton at Forest. Give me Forest 2-0. Wolves at Bournemouth. Give me Wolves 2-1. Burnley at Brentford. Brentford 2-1. Arsenal at Chelsea. I'm actually going to go Chelsea in a sneaky upset here. 2-1 Chelsea. Manchester United at Sheffield United. Give me Man U 2-1. West Ham at Villa. Give me Villa 1-0. Fulham at Tottenham. 3-0 Tottenham. And here we go. Combat Sports. Tommy Fury defeats KSI via unanimous decision. 57-56 on all 3 cards. I believe the way the judges had it is they had Tommy Fury winning 4-2. All of them have Fury 4-2, but obviously the point deduction makes it a point closer. No point, it's 58-56. How did I score it? I didn't understand when we were through 4 rounds that the judges or the guys that were calling the fights had it 2-2. I don't know if I watched a different fight than them. I mean, albeit it was boring and shitty. I didn't think KSI did anything. He was initiating the clinch and the cuddling and the hugging more than Tommy was, in my opinion. I had Fury actually winning every round through round 5. I gave KSI round 6. I had it 5-1. Obviously, round 2 is a 9-9 with the point deduction. So I had a 58-55 Fury. I didn't think the fight was very close. I know people are going to say, well, he only outlanded him by 1. How could it not be that close? I thought KSI was desperately holding and clinching Tommy Fury a decent amount. I know that they're saying people should he appeal. That's fucking ludicrous. How many bad scorers are there in boxing and MMA all the time? And how many times do you honestly hear of a guy actually going to appeal? Like even Dylan Danis going to appeal the DQ because Logan's team entered first. I understand what he's saying, but let's not appeal. Like, you both lost. I mean, obviously, Danis lost. KSI, you lost. Like, and people are saying his fight was more impressive than Jake. You know, Jake dropped him, and Jake wasn't hugging and holding. He went toe-to-toe with the boxer. KSI was throwing a left or a right and then hugging. Jake dropped Tommy Fury. I don't understand what people see in KSI. I know his fans are completely loyal, and that's okay. I understand it when, you know, your favorite, you know, you're always going to be loyal and think he thought he did good. He was terrible. So was Tommy. But, I mean, KSI couldn't beat Tommy Fury, and Tommy Fury had 1 hand. Right? So, you know, I thought it was Fury all the way around. I didn't think the fight was close. I also thought the fight was very boring. I mean, each round was technically close just because it was so boring, but I thought Fury was just winning the rounds. What's next for both? Fury, you know, I don't know what he, you know, back to traditional boxing, right? He could go for the triple header and beat the other top big name and influencer boxing, Logan Paul. He could do that. You know, that could happen potentially. For KSI, in my opinion, it's Jake Paul and only Jake Paul. Nothing else makes sense. I'm guessing since Jake Paul has a fight on December 15th, though, that KSI is probably going to take another fight with some bum in January, February, and then hopefully by May. May, June, you get Jake Paul, KSI, finally. That's the only fight that makes sense for me. Jake Paul's a legitimate boxer, in my opinion. KSI's a boxer. He's not a good one, though. He's not technical. I think Jake would pick him apart. But yeah, that's the only thing I would want to see between Jake or for KSI is Jake Paul. I don't really care. I mean, he's obviously going to probably fight another, you know, rapper or something like that. But let's be honest, who cares? who really cares? Besides the Jake Paul fight, who really cares, though, right? And the way he handled the loss, moaning, bitching, crying, kicking stuff, Jake Paul just sat there and took it. You know, he thought he won, but he sat there and took it. He wasn't crying and throwing a temper tantrum around there, you know? That was embarrassing. And what was funny was his fans all of a sudden, it's funny what happens here in this thing. His fans all of a sudden, I've heard from his fans that he's a really good boxer. He is a true boxer now. He takes it so seriously that he's a boxer. And even out of his mouth, oh, the YouTuber, you know, the internet kid hung with Tommy Fury. And that's all his fans are saying. Well, what happened to, you know, just recently you guys saying that he's a really good boxer? Right, that he can box. What happened to that? Why did that go away so quick? Right? Come on. Stick to your guns at least, right? Logan Paul defeats Dylan Danis via DQ. That fight was just fucking miserable. At least there was a brawl. Because Dylan started trying to do MMA moves and stuff. And so at least there was security got in and there was a brawl. That was cool, I guess. But those two misfits, I mean, that was, I know they sold 1.3 million. It was a fucking stinker of a double headliner, right? They have to be sick with how the fights went. And this is why I say, first off, I don't even know if the fight can be made between Jake and KSI, because Jake is not going to fight on Misfits. He is with DAZN, though, now. But I don't think he's going to want it as a Misfits card. I think he's just going to want, because DAZN is partnered with Misfits, but DAZN also has their own boxing for real boxing. That's what Jake's going to want to be on. He's not going to do that Misfits shit with KSI. That's ludicrous. That Misfits thing is a shit show. Absolute shit show. What a bad... I mean, they raked in the money. But man, oh man, that was not a good look for them. Fury and Ganu early preview. All right, so let's pull up the odds. I'm going to guess these are wide. Francis and Ganu. Odds. Wide. Okay, that was, oh my God, October 4th. My God, that's, here we go, odds checker. This will give us what we want. This will give us what we want. This isn't what I want. Why are they giving me all odds for boxing? I don't care about all of them. What? Boy. So, okay, as of 4 days ago, he was a minus 1,000. I can't find it. That seems about right. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into Fury and Ganu more because it happens. It doesn't happen this coming weekend. It happens the following. And there's a ton of, you know, obviously there's, it's kind of 3 weekends in a row of, you know, big time headlining fights, right? You had the Misfits card, which is obviously huge. You did 1.3. This, you get UFC 294, Makhachev, Volkanovski 2. And then you get Fury and Ganu the following. So it's a huge stretch here for combat sports, name-wise. I'm very excited for Fury and Ganu. I think it's going to be much different than the Misfits card. I don't think Fury and Ganu will cuddle and hold each other. Even though that's part of Fury's game, but Fury's a go-for-it guy. Yeah, it's going to be action-packed for sure, and I can't wait. But let's get a couple MMA headlines, and then we'll get into the UFC 294 card. Conor McGregor officially back in the testing pool. I believe he will be eligible to fight by UFC 299. We don't know where that card is. Obviously, UFC 300 is right around the corner as well. So he's back. And then UFC and USADA split ways at year's end. UFC is going a different route. USADA was upset. Sounds like some legal trouble could be coming in their way with how they talked about Conor McGregor and kind of tried to use him as a scapegoat and, you know, kind of just make him look bad, that the UFC was trying to get a waiver for Conor, which never happened apparently, and they have document of that, so USADA's kind of in the mud. UFC officially said the whole time we were telling them that when Conor's back in the pool, it'll be 6 months, and then he can fight. We're not trying to maneuver anything, and you saw the lied. And, you know, that's what it's come to. And Dana White and Hunter and all them were pissed. And they have every right to be. And Connor has every right to be pissed off as well about USADA. So UFC 294. All right. The chaos of the card. So to kick it off, the main event was supposed to be Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev 2 for the rematch. Islam defending his title against Oliveira. Okay. Oliveira pulls out, gets a nasty gash over his eye, had to have stitches, so you can't fight, 10 days out. Well, the trooper and the warrior that Alexander Volkanovski is says, all right, I'll fight. And this is how he gets his rematch with Islam, 10 days notice. Insanity. I mean, just an absolute warrior. And then Paulo Costa has to pull out because he had elbow surgery, and they wouldn't clear him. In steps Kamaru Usman to fight Khamzat Chimaev on 10 days' notice. Again, Kamaru, gangster, warrior. What, the balls on both these motherfuckers to step up and fight guys like Islam Makhachev and Khamzat Chimaev on 10 days' notice? Ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. Pretty good card. Again, the top two sell it. The main card's not great, but the top two sell it. You also get Magomed Ankalaev, Johnny Walker in the middle spot. You get Ikram Alexera versus Warley Alves. You get Syed Nurmagomedov versus Munan Gutrov. Tim Elliott's fighting Mokaev. You know, I don't give a fuck. They could have put Joe Schmo under there. Those two fights sell the bill. Incredible. We'll probably be picking the all five on the main card, and then the main fight on the prelim card. Tim Elliott versus Mokaev. Mokaev's he's a stud. He had a bad injury in his last fight and was still able to get the win. He's 10 wins, no losses, one no contest for an accidental groin kick. He is 1-2. He's 4 undefeated in the UFC. 3 submissions. And a decision. Definitely his toughest fight, though. Tim Elliott, a veteran of the sport. I didn't mean to click on that. I want his MMA record. Thank you. It's been up and down for Tim Elliott, you know. So he was in the UFC way back when it started. He went 2-4, got cut, went to Titan FC, won 3 in a row. He got brought back on for the Ultimate Fighter Tournament of Champions, where he got the winner got a flyweight title fight against Mighty Mouse. He lost that fight, but then he beat Smolka. He then lost to Ben. I don't even know who that guy is. Okay, whatever. He beat Mark De La Rosa. Then he went on a 3-fight losing streak against, I mean, killers though. Figueiredo, Alex Askarov, and Roy Val. Then he beat Benoit and Espinoza, and then he lost to Nicolau, but then he's won his last two. He's a wild guy. I think Mokaev's going to get it, but this is a tough fight for Tim Elliott. I haven't looked at the odds. I don't check the odds until we're live on the pod. I just like to react to him, but Mokaev, probably the favorite, and I think he gets it done. I'm going to go by decision, though. I think Tim he'll see the bell. Syed Nurmagomedov, don't know the guy he's fighting, to be completely honest, at all. Don't know him. Syed 17-3, is coming off a loss to Jonathan Martinez. I don't know. I'm not going to pick one here because I don't know. I got to do some more research on the other guy. The name looks familiar, but I'm going to have to do some more research. Then you get Alex Serov versus Warley Alves. Warley Alves, known welterweight. He's moving up because he took it on late notice. He's lost 2 in a row. This is a tough fight for him because Ikram Alexerov is very good. I believe his only loss ever. Yeah, his only loss ever was to Khamzat and Brave. He's 1-0 in the UFC. He KO'd Phil Hawes. He was on the Contender Series. I'm going to go with Ikram Alexerov here. I think he gets it done. I'm going to say he stops Warley Alves in round 2 is what I'm going to go with for now. Ankalaev, Johnny Walker. Obviously, Johnny Walker, one of my favorite fighters, SBG guy. 3-fight win streak. He submitted Kutalaba, TKO'd Paul Craig, ran through Anthony Smith. This is, in my opinion, the winner of this is probably going to fight the winner of Pereira and Yuri Prochazka, unless Jamal Hill's back. So it's a number one contenders fight, in my opinion. But Alex Serov is Magomed Ankalaev's a stud. He lost to Paul Craig in his first fight in the UFC. Has not lost since. Ran through Prashino KO, Abreu decision, Lugambula KO, Kutalaba TKO, Kutalaba KO, Krylov decision, Ozdemir decision, Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith draw with Jan Blachowicz. It's a tough fight. I'm probably going to pick Johnny Walker because he's my boy, but that's a heart over mind pick. But Ankalaev probably should win this fight, but I'm going to go with Johnny Walker. Shocks the world. First round stoppage because I don't think he gets it done on the cards. I think he's got to stop him somehow. Khamzat Chimaev, Kamaru Usman. So Usman moving up to middleweight. Obviously, we know that Israel Adesanya is taking some time off. The winner of this will fight Sean Strickland next. Kamaru Usman obviously coming off the two straight losses to Leon Edwards, but he's moving up. I love this move for him. I think he's taking a big gamble, and I respect it, and I love it. Fighting Khamzat Chimaev, who has been out for 13 months. Who knows why? I wonder why. He's coming off the Kevin Holland win. Before that was Burns and Li Jing Liang. Gerald Meerschaert was his last fight at middleweight. He knocked him out. It's a tough one. I want to ride with Kamaru Usman. And I'm going to. Kamaru Usman via round 3 stoppage. TKO submission, I don't know, but I think he gets it done late. I think Khamzat goes for it just because that's him. And I think Usman gets him late. That's my prediction. Volkanovski, obviously coming off the... his last fight was Yair Rodriguez after the Islam loss. This is Islam's first fight since the Volk fight, I believe. Yep. First fight since the Volk fight. It's tough. I'm obviously going to root for Volkanovski. I'm going to go Islam Makhachev via decision again. I think it'll still be a close fight, but I don't think it'll be as close as the first one. I think 10 days notice could be a little too much, even for a great like Alexander Volkanovski. I'm going to go Islam Makhachev via decision, which sadly I don't want to, but I am. So let's check now since we just did all that. Let's look what the odds are. Okay. Odds on FanDuel. Tim Elliott, Mokaev, yep, minus 560, Elliott plus 370. Syed Nurmagomedov minus 230. Gafurov plus 176. Alex Serov minus 500. Warley Alves plus 240. Magomed Ankalaev minus 370. Johnny Walker plus 265. Khamzat Chimaev minus 295 to Usman's plus 220. And Makhachev minus 265 to Volkanovski's plus 200. Those seem about right, though. Those odds seem about right. That's what I would kind of expect there, are those odds. What a card, though. Cannot wait for Saturday. Very pumped up. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. But let's get into some college football. My top 5 reactions to week 7. Boy, oh boy, did Notre Dame steamroll USC 48-20. My goodness. That was an ass-whooping from start to finish. Big win for Notre Dame. Obviously, you know, their college football playoff hopes are probably dead, but, you know, New Year's 6 not. So... you know, we'll see. Notre Dame steamrolls SC. Washington edges Oregon 36-33 in a classic. What a game that was. I thought Oregon kind of pissed it away. I'm not going to lie. And they may get the rematch against them in the Pac-12 title. But I did think they pissed that away. UNC takes care of the U 41-31. UNC undefeated. Watch out for Drake May and the boys. Oregon State gets big win over UCLA 36-24. Pac-12 is a gauntlet, man. And Bama holds on versus Arkansas 24-21. This week's kind of the start of the Big Ten dominoes. Where do they fall? You know, so we'll see. But here we go. Post week 7, top 6 Heisman rankings. Number 1, Michael Penix Jr. And there's a gap. Quarterback out of Washington. He's number 1 in the Heisman ranks for sure. Number 1. And there is a gap. Drake May at 2. What a season he's having. Just, you know, kind of under the radar as North Carolina is. Dylan Gabriel, 3. Jordan Travis, 4. J.J. McCarthy, 5. Still have Caleb Williams in there, but it's going to be tough. He could beat Penix. You never know, but could be tough for SC. So my post-week 7 Power 23 college football rankings. Number one, Washington. Again, it's a different year. I've been moving my rankings so much. Usually right now, you kind of know who the four are. Mate, there's 11 teams that I think are still playoff potential. And if you want to throw Oregon State in there, but I would say 11 teams are still there. And there's some teams that have recent losses, like Ole Miss, USC, Duke, Missouri. They get on a run. I'm just saying. It's a wide open year. Washington's 1, Michigan's 2. Georgia at 3. Ohio State 4. Florida State 5. Oklahoma 6. Penn State 7. I kept Oregon at 8, didn't move them. Texas at 9. Bama at 10. North Carolina at 11. Those are my 11 teams that I think also have a legit chance at the college football playoff. Oregon State 12. Again, a small chance because their resume can build. They obviously have to win out. That probably won't happen, but Notre Dame 13. Ole Miss 14. Again, they'd have to win out and have Alabama lose, but they have to have Alabama lose twice. Yeah, never mind, they're out. Tennessee 15. Again, would have to win out. USC 16. Again, would have to win out, and it's a gauntlet of a schedule. Duke 17. They play Florida State this coming weekend. Missouri 18. LSU 19. Utah 20, Tulane 21, Air Force 22, and Louisville 23. First five out, Kansas, James Madison, Florida, UCLA, and Wazoo. Those are my first five out. Top five games of the week. I'm only 22 and 18. I'm doing piss poor this year, guys. But that just shows you how unpredictable college, you know, usually you get games of the week, you're like, okay, I know these two teams are good, but this team's for sure going to win. It's chaos this year. Number 7, Penn State at number 4, Ohio State. Give me Ohio State 31-20. I think they make a statement. Number 17, Duke at number 5, Florida State. I think this game's closer than the experts think. Florida State's 14-point favorites. I got Florida State by a touchdown, 31-24. 15th-ranked Tennessee at number 10, Bama. Give me Bama 24-20. Wazoo at number 8, Oregon. Give me Oregon to bounce back and kind of a, you know, this will be a third straight loss for Wazoo, 33-21. Oregon, number 20, Utah at number 16, USC. Tricky game for USC, man. They got to figure out a way to win this one. I'm going USC 27-23, but I'm not sold on that pick. So as of right now, my New Year's Six Bowl projections. Rose Bowl, which is a college football playoff semifinal. Washington is the Pac-12 champion versus Oklahoma as the Big 12 champion. Sugar Bowl. Michigan, Big Ten champion versus Georgia, SEC champion. Orange Bowl, Florida State, ACC versus Ohio State, Big Ten. Fiesta Bowl, Texas, Big 12 versus Penn State, Big Ten. Peach Bowl, Alabama, SEC versus North Carolina, ACC. And then the Cotton Bowl, Oregon, Pac-12 versus Tulane, top group of five. Those would be my projections as of right now for the New Year's Six Bowl projections. And let's get into my 3.0 2024 NFL mock draft. I'm going. Bears have the number one pick via the Panthers. They take Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. Broncos take Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. Bears at 3 with their own pick take Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. Patriots at 4 take Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. Cardinals at 5 take Quinn Ewers, quarterback out of Texas. Giants take Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State at 6. At 7, the Vikings take Jared Versay, the edge out of Florida State. At 8, the Titans take Joe Alt, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. At 9, the Falcons take Dallas Turner, edge out of Alabama. 10, the Colts take Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. Packers take Cooper DeJean, defensive back out of Iowa. Yes, he can play either, safety or corner. He's just an all-around defensive back. At 12, the Raiders take Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback out of Alabama. 13, the Cardinals via the Texans take Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State to pair with Quinn Ewers. 14, the Steelers take J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. Redskins take Latu, edge out of UCLA. 16, the Jets take Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. Chargers at 17 take Kalen Keene, the cornerback out of Penn State. 18, Seattle takes Jerjon Newton, the interior D lineman out of Illinois. Saints at 19 take Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU. At 20, the Rams take Chop Robinson, the edge out of Penn State. 21, Bengals take Mason Smith, the interior D lineman out of LSU. At 22, Houston via the Browns take Rome Odunes, wide receiver out of Washington. 23, Buccaneers take Graham Barton, the offensive tackle out of Duke. At 24, the Cowboys take Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas. Jaguars at 25 take Leonard Taylor, interior D lineman out of Miami. Ravens at 26 take Nate Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson. 27, the Lions go Cameron Kitchens, the safety out of Miami. 28, Dolphins take Chris Jenkins, interior D lineman out of Michigan. Bills at 29 take Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Eagles at 30 take Denzel Burke, the cornerback out of Ohio State. Niners take Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle out of Arizona. And at 32, the Kansas City Chiefs take Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon. So there we go. That is my mock draft. I'm just going to say I can't hit a five-unit pick. I'm going to have to eliminate myself from locks. You're just going to hear KB. We're going to have some, you know, we're going to still have Nick 1 Survivor League. So we're going to start a new Survivor League Part 2. Games of the Week picks. The boys' locks. I'm just going to have a little rundown of the bets I like. I'm not making any more unit picks. It's just ridiculous at this point. And then we're also going to have a hockey talk segment with Colby and Carter at the end of the show as well. So a little more segments added on to KB and the boys, which will obviously be Thursday night. But yeah, thank you guys again for listening. And we'll be back next Tuesday morning with Unedited. Peace, guys.